You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news with a local perspective. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada. Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, was in Smithers last Friday for a meet-and-greet at All West Glass on Frontage Road near Highway 16. An anxious crowd of about 25 people waited for Mr. Poilievre's arrival, whereupon he spoke about axing the carbon tax and, of course, the importance of restoring Canada to what it was before Trudeau inherited responsibility for the country. I was granted a small time to speak to the Conservative leader, and so here's that conversation now. I would like to know your take on our commercial steelhead sports fishing industry in the North Coast and Skeena region. Alaska is now the biggest harvester of BC salmon. How would you approach getting Southeast Alaska to move their interception fishing fleet, which harvests BC salmon, and get Canadian fishers back on the water?
We have to protect the sovereignty of our waters and make sure that our fishing rights are protected. And I think the DFO has done a terrible job at balancing the legitimate goal of commercial fishing with the need to protect the viability of the fit of the stock. And what I want to see is a lot more local control by the coastal fishing communities so that they can have proper input into how to do that. And we'll also stand up to the Americans where necessary to protect our fish stocks against their incursions. Yeah.
I just wanted to know if you have anything to say about John Restad's recent comments to walk away from the province's commitment to protect 30% of its land base by 2030.
No, I don't have any comment on that.
Minority governments seem to be more commonplace. Would you push forward an agenda for proportional representation if elected?
No, what we need is a common sense conservative majority that will axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime. We right now, what we have is a coalition where a costly coalition, Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau, who have betrayed working people and Western Canadians, and the Canadians can't afford another 4 years of sellout Singh and Justin Trudeau. We need a new common sense conservative government that will bring home powerful paychecks that buy affordable food, gas, and homes in safe neighborhoods.
Thank you very much.
Right, great to be with you, Pam. Yeah. Thanks very much.
After my brief interview with Pierre Poilievre, I was able to speak to Ellis Ross. I spoke to Ellis about the Rising Tides Landmark Agreement and why he was not present at the BC Legislature for the first reading of the Haida Nation Reconciliation Amendment Act in the BC Legislature. The Act recognizes Haida title on Haida Gwaii land and waters, the first of its kind in Canadian history. Aboriginal rights are rights to lands that were exercised by Aboriginal people before colonial rule. Treaties, however, confirm the existence of Aboriginal rights and the ability of those peoples who entered the treaties to negotiate and conclude treaties between and amongst other nations. I mention this as Ellis Ross also makes reference to the difference between treaties and Aboriginal rights in our conversation. Here's my conversation with Ellis as he was traveling with Pierre Poilievre on his Skeena tour last week.
I'm going to resign when the roof is dropped, provincial or federal. Mainly, I made up my decision because Pierre Poilievre came along. And the principles he stands for is what I've believed in for the last 20 years. Economic development, good jobs, low crime, and government fiscal responsibility is a big issue.
The recent move to acknowledge Haida title, mm-hmm. being called on by so many, the Union of BC Indian Chiefs and the First Nation Leadership Council, why didn't you show up for the vote in BC Legislature?
I didn't show up for both votes, actually, mainly because I didn't get any clear answers in terms of what it really means on the ground. We've already seen agreements like this be reconciled, Aboriginal title with Crown title, and the result of that becomes the Nisga Treaty, for example, or Manoth, or Tawasin. So we have a clear idea of what the jurisdiction is and the roles and responsibilities of each party. With this one, I couldn't really see how it's going to be implemented.
You mean so clearly how it's going to be implemented to move over to Haida title, or what was it what was the confusion?
It's not the title that's, like, I'm a strong believer in Aboriginal rights and title, but when you really look at the court documents in terms of what has to happen next, Aboriginal title has to be reconciled with Crown title, So you got to figure out, okay, who's in charge? What are the rules? And in my questioning of the minister, I couldn't really figure out what the rules are going to be. Like, for instance, how do you protect private property? Mm-hmm. The minister said, yeah, without a doubt, we're going to protect it. Okay, but how? What's the mechanism? And I couldn't get a really good understanding of it. The other thing I've always said also, 7 years ago when I got into the legislature, is that I will not play politics with Aboriginal issues. I won't do it. And I'm the kind of person that says, okay, since I represent so many people, I expect facts and I expect the truth. And so if I get that, I can go back and I can relay that to the people I represent. And if I can't understand something, then I don't feel right in trying to explain it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write an article for this, for the newspaper, to fully explain what I think about the politics surrounding Aboriginal issues in BC, including UNDRIP and including the Haida recognition, because we got so many examples of what worked and what didn't work. And so I didn't feel right in saying I can go to a vote unless I truly understood it, and I don't understand it.
And you didn't want to vote no and make that clear either?
I didn't want to vote no or yes. It's not fair to vote no and not truly understand what you're voting for. It's not fair to say yes and not truly understanding it. Mm-hmm. I think Chilcotin title and Lake title will be similar until they can actually tell us exactly how it's going to work within the confines of BC and Canadian law. But the one thing I did get out of the minister that became a fact, I assume, is that with the Haida recognition title, the laws of general application will be applied. That means basically all the laws relating to Canada, BC, will be applied to Haida recognition title.
Okay.
So laws around speeding, crime, yeah, all those kind of that. And that's what's in the Nisku Treaty, for example. Yeah. But the other thing that was puzzling to me was the minister said it would not be based on a treaty format. Okay, that is the ultimate form of reconciliation in BC. Yeah. So if it's not going to be based on that, what's it going to be based on? And then they came up with this other term that said, oh, we're confirming title. And I said, yes, I know. Exactly like how Chilcotin did it through the courts. But what we're really talking about is, how do you reconcile Crown title with Aboriginal title? That's the core question. If Nisga achieved it, Minolth achieved it, Tawasin achieved it, but you're proposing something different, all I want to see is, what is your new format?
What does, sorry, I'm sure point this at me. Or sorry.
Federal Conservative Party.
Federal Conservative Party. What does reconciliation mean?
The biggest thing I can see for the federal conservatives is start to amend the funding agreements that First Nations live under. Mm. It's very restrictive. It's very paternalistic. I was a chief counselor for 6 years, and I was a counselor for 8 years. And the bureaucrats that actually administer the funding agreements actually punish First Nations if they don't do exactly as the funding agreement says. First Nation leaders evolve. They know what they're doing. They can make their own decisions. And I've actually run this by Pierre, and he likes it. Not only do you give First Nations more autonomy over the money that comes from Ottawa, but also it speaks to the self-determination of Indigenous natives to make their own decisions. And I think it's a big step.
Would you continue to support First Nations taxation initiatives as well?
That's Manny Jules, and he's got some very creative policies coming up, and Pierre Poly is very interested in that as well. But Manny Jules has been working on that for 20, 30 years.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ellis.
Thank you very much.
The Peace River MLA, Mike Bernier, was in Houston last week Thursday to meet with workers and contractors of Canfor, along with Houston Mayor Shane Breenan, to talk about Canfor's recent delay on their $200 million facility rebuild. Canfor owns a sawmill in Houston, which paused operations in April of 2023. Construction was slated to begin this spring, but a press release from Canfor on May 9th announced the company was pausing development due to provincial policies, which they claimed to be restrictive, and limited timber supply. At the Senior Center in Houston, 13 workers met with MLA Bernier and Mayor Breenan to ask questions about their future of employment in Houston. Here's my brief conversation with both Mayor Shane Breenan and MLA Bernier just after that meeting.
If you can tell me, yeah, your thoughts and what you hope or what you feel like you might have achieved or got clear today.
Yeah, first of all, it was great to see some people show up today in Houston to really talk about the frustration but also the opportunities in the forestry sector. For me, one of the takeaways, which is really important to hear, that there's still 200-300 plus people that are out there working. So even with the mill not operating right now, it's a reminder to people that, yes, you might see some logs moving out of town, but that also means that's still 200-300 people in your community working. That was a really important takeaway for me, and a reminder that we can't just shut down everything and think it's going to say, oh, we're going to stop moving logs out of the town, because that also is the jobs that are remaining. There was also, I think, today, what I caught was people haven't given up on the forestry sector, that there's still a huge opportunity. We know that means government has to change policy. We have to bring certainty into the decision making so that Canfor or whomever is in the area knows that if they invest, that it's a good investment. And that's really important. So to hear Shane today reminding all of us, not only as the mayor, but as the BC United candidate, that he's going to fight for some practical solutions, I think that's the important part of it, is we have to be practical here. There's the opportunities. How do we achieve them?
Yeah. Do you think 5 months is viable for the people that you saw here? Because there was no Canfor. Like, they weren't Canfor specific employees. They were more contractors and freelancers. Is that doable?
I hate to say that. After the announcement of Canfor, I don't see them changing their mind anytime this year.
Yeah.
Because what they publicly said, the president, I think it was the president of Canfor, said that with this present NDP government and the policies that are in place, it makes it almost cost prohibitive to invest in British Columbia right now. Now, the light at the end of the tunnel is they have not mothballed completely and said, we're walking away from Houston.
Yeah.
That we're not walking away from British Columbia. But it also does signal that if we don't have a change of government, if we don't have a change in policy, that they're not going to invest.
Mm-hmm.
For me and for all of the Canfor workers that are unfortunately in the position right now, I think that's what we have to remember. These are families. These are people that we're talking about, not big faceless companies.
Yeah.
Just, I would say that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that if we can change policy in government, that there will be investment in Houston in that operation. It won't happen in the next 5 months, guaranteed.
Yeah.
But at least the company's left the door open and not walked away completely.
Yeah, I know you have a flight to catch, so thanks a lot. Yeah, you too. How do you feel about having Mike here speak to people? Do you think it gives hope, clarity? What do you think that did for the people in the meeting today?
I just think it helps. I'm not an expert in all the policy and acts that are going on right now. I know quite a bit about them. It always helps to have someone that's following it really close. And it was a good opportunity today that he was in Smithers and brought him back up. I had a meeting with locals there talking about local issues and local logs and trying to unite in some way and have a common goal there and not fracture up, because no matter what we do, I always believe if we work together, we accomplish more.
So because I was at the NCLGA as well, you're pretty vulnerable actually when you were speaking in the last kind of presentation that you gave, just about what industry is in the town, and you yourself are someone who this affects directly. So I guess, because even in that meeting, you're still staying so level-headed and not Pollyanna optimistic or anything like that, but how are you keeping yourself feeling calm enough to help manage a lot of other people's emotions right now?
Oh, that's a lot. I believe you always have to be optimistic and you always have to have a goal, and you can't get drawn down into the negativity. And it's very easy to be negative, and not everyone's negative, but people are looking for answers. So everyone has a solution or a way to go about things. So it's really important that people come together and focus on what the goal is and how we achieve that. So we have to have a common goal and we have to unite behind it. And that's part of keeping calm, is just talking to people, finding out what their issue is and their stand and how they're viewing it. And every one of us is going to look at a problem different. But to solve it, we need to sit down and say, what's best for everyone and what's our end goal and how are we going to get there? Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.